Welcome to episode, what, seven of Scientology Chat. I am somebody you may know who. We might have new listeners you may not know. Anyway, I'm here with the actual host of the podcast.
Thank you. Tonight's episode is going to be Scientology compared to Christianity. Well, Scientology compared to all major religions in general, but the overwhelming majority of our viewers come from the United States. So I figure that the easiest one to compare it to is going to be Christianity. I also wanted to just reiterate, in case anybody didn't see the episode before, we didn't have an episode on Sunday because we were out of town in Las Vegas, and so this is go now we'll be back to the normal schedule. So what we're kind of going to talk about is two different main points to this. The first one is one of the common reasons that Scientology gets a lot of misdirected antagonism is because Scientology isn't structured as a belief system the same way as other religions, and that's used against it in arguments about if it is or is not a religion. And then the other one is a lot of people incorrectly claim that Scientology is compatible with all religions. It's claimed that in the interviews I've seen with some former Scientologists, I've seen them talk about how Scientology claims that its teachings are compatible with all major religions, and then they say that that is a lie. Even when you look it up on Google, it tells you that same kind of thing. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit as well, because Scientology, the religion part, is not compatible with other religions. It's Dianetics that is compatible with all religions, and all the way to the point that the American Nation of Islam, their members, I think over round about a thousand of them have been trained in Dianetic auditing. They use it as part of their religion. So, yes, Dianetics and all of the teachings under that part are compatible with different religions. That only ever relates to what the mind is doing to the body. That's what the word Dianetics means. And so I wanted to touch on that because I see it so often incorrectly claimed. I mean, you would be able to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jewish or any religion and take certain aspects away from the different books and the materials as they relate to the Thetan and just apply it to your whatever you think the human spirit is instead. There's a lot where that would fit perfectly fine if you, especially because Scientology auditing is mostly about trying to, once you've gone clear and you've cleared your own mind. Scientology or metered auditing is more about the spirit, whereas Dianetics and everything in Dianetics has nothing to do with spiritualism at all. And I had previously mentioned that, and then in the last episode I said that L. Ron Hubbard was already talking about past lives even in Dianetics. In the book he does talk about it, but he doesn't expand on it until later, and that's what I meant by that. So that would be, I would say, one of the biggest misconceptions about Scientology with other religions. And even I fall into that group. When I first started, I used to tell people that Scientology was almost like an expansion pack kind of religion, where you could use it standalone or you could attach it to your existing belief system. And that's partially right, but in reality, it's going to be Dianetics. It's possible, but it's certainly not a selling point of the church. They do say that they welcome people of all faiths, but it's not because of Scientology itself. It's because of Dianetics and Dianetic auditing and that part of the church. The main point of this episode, though, like I had said, was Scientology being compared to other major religions and how the way that those much older religions are structured is the lens that people try to see Scientology through when it's not the same. So the first one would be the belief system. Whereas the belief system of all the other major religions are set in stone. We've kind of talked about this before, whether it's the catechism or being taken from the Quran or the Bible itself or the Torah or any of the religious texts that these other religions base their entire religion on. It's all set in stone and isn't open to a real interpretation. Unless you are starting your own branch of that church. And the Protestant Reformation and all of the non-denominational Christian churches only exist because they are some, I mean, in almost every example, it was one person's different interpretation of the Bible that they started to teach other people and started to run with that. And that was the basis for all of these different denominations of Christianity. So if you're going to veer away from the conventional teachings of whatever sect of Christianity or whatever other religion you're in, it's different from Scientology because if you're a Baptist and you start and you believe different things or a different interpretation of the Bible than other Baptists do, then you're going to wind up veering off into what either joining a different sect or denomination of Christianity or wind up creating your own non-denominational form of Christianity. When you come across a lot of Christian churches, whether it's like back home in North Idaho, we have Real Life Ministries, a very, very big Christian church. They have no denomination. They're not Baptists, they're not Methodists, they're not Lutherans, they're not anything. They're their own version of non-denominational Christianity because it all started with one person who supposedly got some sort of calling from God and then read the Bible and interpreted it in their own way and used their version to spread their version of Christianity. And that's where the overwhelming majority of Christian churches out there are non-denominational. And so, whereas with Scientology, like we've discussed before, the mantra of it's only true if it's true for you, it's not the same kind of idea like I had talked about, where when celebrity Scientologists are asked about Scientology or different members, but celebrities in particular, because it happens on TV shows and in interviews and whatnot, they always respond by telling people to read the book. And that's because Scientology tries to prevent that sort of non-denominational fracturing where one person reads all the materials, has their own interpretation of the materials, and then starts to try to shove their interpretation of all the works down other people's throat or convince them of their way of thinking. And even Scientology's version of proselytizing, of going out and trying to convert people, is different from Christianity because it's never about trying to get somebody to believe the exact same thing that you believe. It's more about just trying to get them to read the book because if they read the book, whether they convert to Scientology or do what we talked about earlier, and they get something from the book that they apply to their existing belief system, that's a win for Scientology. Not in any way of we got someone. It's more about they got something out of the material. And so with Scientology, that's why it's mainly different and a big point of contention of why people don't see it or people could consider it to be brainwashing. Because when you ask a Scientologist, what do Scientologists believe? Or why do you believe XYZ? They don't answer the question like Christians do because they don't have a specific set of religious beliefs outside the fundamentals of thought and Dianetics drilled into their head so that they can regurgitate it at the drop of the hat. That's not the point of Scientology. So for each individual Scientologist, when you ask them that question and they tell you to read the book, it's like we've discussed before. It's not because they don't know what they believe. It's because they aren't supposed to try and tell you so that you believe the same thing they do or to influence your interpretation of the materials. If you want to know the fundamentals of what a Scientologist believes, you just have to read the books. And I know that's a tall ask for a lot of people, not just because a lot of people don't read anymore in general, but Dianetics is a big-ass book. It's a big-ass book, and there are parts where even I am like, oh, God, I just want to get to the next bit. And so even current Scientologists, I would say that that's one of the criticisms I would wedge at the church themselves. There are Scientologists who go so far up the bridge that they probably don't even remember some of the stuff in the basic books anymore. And so Scientology, it's a common criticism that's used against the church, that's the organization of the Church of Scientology, tries to get people higher up on the bridge to retake courses. And I don't see that as a bad thing. I think that the church does that because they're trying to get these people to actually study and learn the material. Similar to our last episode where we broke down the interview with the growing up in Scientology person. There's a lot of stuff that he says, and like with Leah Remini, that I honestly don't know if they're genuinely lying or they are just unaware that what they are saying is not correct. And with both of them being so involved in the church and going so high up the bridge, it makes me wonder if they only got to that point and certain things in the theology came as some sort of shock to them is because they didn't pay attention the entire time they were going. Because like we talked about, you don't get to different levels on the bridge just by, you know, doing something and then taking a test and then you get, you know, a gold star. Somebody doesn't give you a different level on the bridge. You do the materials, and when you feel like you understand the materials and you've done what the material asks you to try to do and interpret, then you make the choice to attest to the level for the course that you're taking. And so it's not impossible for someone to just lie their way up the bridge. The auditors and the church isn't there to try and prevent people from lying. If you're really not interested in spiritual enlightenment or doing what the church says to try and achieve the different states or different aspects that the different parts of the bridge entail, then the church would, and I would both wonder, why are you doing it in the first place if you're not really going to try? I think that's one of the big things with a lot of former Scientologists and people who fall out with the church is that they reach a point where they get so far up the bridge and they're like, everything that was promised to me isn't coming. And I don't think it's because the church makes false promises. I think it's because the people don't actually do what they're supposed to do. And that's not to say that it's easy. There are a lot of things, like I said before, I never attested to clear. I really, really, really would have loved to do it, to get up there in front of everybody, to get the round of applause, and to be congratulated for doing it. But I never was. It's hard work, and it takes a long time to go clear. You have to work through a lot of bullshit in your life. It's hard work to get to clear. It's hard work to get to the OT levels. It's hard work to become a different level of auditor. The person who audited me, that I paid to audit me, was not a very good auditor, and they were somebody in an actual org. So I still went through with the process. Even a bad auditor can follow the procedures and get you through it, but a good auditor can get you through it and help you feel better much faster. But that's what I'm leaning towards here, is that with a lot of these people who fall out with the church and former Scientologists, I honestly have to question whether they paid attention to the materials, because like we talked about, it's not the same thing as Christianity. You don't just get a book, memorize different parts of the book that you want to regurgitate when it's time for an argument and you don't have a logical answer to fight it with. Not to hurt anybody's feelings who's in a different religion. I'm not saying every Christian does that. I'm just saying that that is a particular method of all the worst aspects of that religion. But it's makes it a lot more difficult for somebody who maybe grew up in Christianity, or every American is obviously exposed to it as a religion in the way that it's organized, to look at Scientology and say, how is that a religion when it's so different on a fundamental structural level than Christianity? They don't, not all Scientologists stand there and say, we believe in, you know, the Mother of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We don't all go take communion. We don't all do the same things. And so I've often found that in talking to different people that is something that it genuinely takes them to take a step back and consider that, because it's something that they have a hard time seeing Scientology as theoretically being the same thing as Christianity or Islam or Buddhism or one of these other religions, because it is a religion, but it's not built the same way. It doesn't work the same way. And so, and that also leads that same kind of thing, because you can, when you look at a religion like Christianity, not all sects, but if we take Catholicism or Lutheranism or Anglicanism, one of the major groups in Christianity, and we look at that, and you say, you go up to a group of, let's say, 10 Catholics, and you ask them to tell you what they believe in, and all 10 of them tell you the same thing, and you say, okay, that's a religion. And then you go to a group of 10 Scientologists, and you say, what do you believe? And all 10 of them tell you, read the books, look at the materials, find out for yourself. And you say, okay, that group is brainwashed and doesn't know what they believe, and that group is the cult. Now, maybe it's just me, but I think that the group of 10 people who regurgitate the exact same mentality, the exact same answers, and the exact same belief system lean far heavier on the side of brainwashing and a cult than the group of 10 people who can give you specific places to look for your answers and specific materials, but tell you to read it and find out for yourself, not just try to, you know, stand on a pulpit and preach to you about what they believe. And really, that's such an important thing to think about. If you're not a Scientologist and never had any contact with Scientology, if you really think about why do you think Scientology is a cult, when so many scholars who have studied religion say that it isn't, Scientology has a unified belief system at its core. It has all of its materials. Everything that we do is spiritual or ecclesiastical, as the church would use, in nature. And the only real difference are the donations required to take courses. But you don't need to take courses in Scientology if you don't want to. I mean, they're there, and the church would like you to take them so that you can learn with somebody who can be there to help you word clear, answer your questions, or make you feel comfortable. But I don't think that that's the church out there trying to be greedy. I think that that's the church out there trying to prevent confusion as you're reading the material, especially with something like Dianetics when you walk into it for the very first time. Like I said, Dianetics is a big ass book, and there's a lot of parts of it that can be confusing. If you don't, the very first page of every single book in Scientology says, never go past a word you don't understand, because, and the reason for that is L. Ron Hubbard, with learning how to learn, or a student hat, which is called hatting in Scientology, and what's called study tech, would be that when you're reading something, anything, whether it's Scientology or whether it's, you know, algebra or science or any aspect of anything that you are trying to learn As soon as you encounter, while you're trying to learn something, even something as simple as a word that you don't understand, and you skip past that word without understanding it or doing what's called word clearing, where you look that word up that you don't understand in a dictionary and you try to find synonyms and recreate the sentence you don't understand in different ways until you do. As you go past something you don't understand, you go past it once, and eventually you'll find something else, and you'll go past it. You'll go past more that you don't understand, and it will continue to snowball until you don't understand so much that you just say, fuck it, I don't understand this at all. I hate it, it's stupid, I don't want to learn this anymore, I give up. And so that is... That, I mean, not everybody needs that, of course. A lot of people have the gumption to know to try and look up these words or to understand what they don't on their own, but it's certainly not most people. I wish that we could all say that it was, but if we're honest with ourselves, we know that it's not. And so that is the fundamental reason that courses in Scientology exist, is to prevent the confusion while trying to learn the material. They want you to understand it so that you can interpret it for yourself and find out what you think is true or isn't. Even with the extension courses, the basic courses in Scientology, most of the questions are very general. And a lot of people have problems with that because they'll say, I've seen this on a review on Amazon for an extension course, weirdly enough, that somebody said that they bought the extension course online from Amazon, got it, and then were confused why it was mostly a one-sentence question that said, you know, describe what recalling is. You know, that's a very basic question, and then there's a huge brick of white for you to write your answer into. And for a lot of people, they would say that that is a very odd kind of question to ask when you have the giant book there. But it's more about the learning technique. It's not even about trying to find out if you get the right answer. I've seen the guide to grade extension courses. I have one of them for the Dianetics extension course. And so it's not about whether you get the answer right or wrong. It's about whether what your answer is contains the right kind of things you should have been paying attention to. So with returning, it wouldn't just be asking what is returning, and then the answer would be somebody is doing a recall exercise and returning to the point of the incident. They would want you to elaborate on that, explain what returning is and why. Because if you do that, that proves that you aren't confused. You understand what you're reading and you're ready to go on. And I think that that kind of confusion, the building up and the snowball effect, culminating in somebody saying, I don't get this, this is stupid, fuck it, I'm not doing anymore, is a big part of why so many Scientologists leave. I mean, that scenario I just gave you almost perfectly sums up Leah Remini's interview where she talks about why she left the church. She says she started to get material and she would read it and she said, where the fuck is this coming from? This is totally out of the blue. I don't understand this. And that almost perfectly sums up the very basic thing that we just talked about of why you don't go past things that you don't understand. And that would be, and that's why the courses have a charge. There's a person who's watching you. And Scientology also has a fundamental belief across everything, not just in Scientology, but in general, that if you get something that is worth value, then you should give something that is worth value as well, because then you will appreciate the value of the thing that you got. And I mean, we kind of talked about this before, where if you have two people and these two people are the exact same person, one of them is given a car and one of them works hard and buys a car, which one of those two people is going to appreciate that car more? It's not to say that neither of them will appreciate the car at all, but it's clear that one of them is going to appreciate it more. Or if you have said, when it comes to self-improvement, like with Scientology and Dianetics, if you have two people and one of them wants to let's say you want to lose weight. One person is given a gym membership for free, the other person pays for it. Which of the two people is in all likelihood going to go to the gym more and take it more seriously? It's the person who paid for it. They gave something, and that made what they got more valuable for them to use, and so they put more effort into using it. And that's it with the books. Like I said, you're not going to go clear just by the sheer willpower of opening the book and reading it. You actually have to do what's in it. And that is the most hard thing to get people to do anymore. Everybody wants to wake up the next day and be the most successful person in the world, but very few people want to put in the effort to achieve it. And that's not to say that Scientology is just going to one day wake you up and you're going to be a millionaire. But, I mean, well, it's tools to help you be able to do more things in your life in a more effective way. So, another aspect where Scientology and these other religions differ that kind of that goes along with our argument here would be the structure of the church. And I know that this is something that always confuses a lot of people too. The bridge itself confuses people. It seems like it's a pay-to-play kind of experience where if you want to be a high-level, valued, quote-unquote, member of the church, you have to invest a lot of money to be able to get it. And I guess, in a way, that could kind of be true, because if you are a donor, you might get a pin at the New Year's celebration, or a cup, or you'll get your name on the placard at one of the orgs that are being built, or anything like that. But Scientology doesn't show up at your door battering down the hatches because you didn't donate. And like I said, I was a member for 9 years, and it was almost 7 before I even had the financial security or stability to start paying for an IAS membership. And I was never pressured into it. And like I said, my Sea Org contact, who was the first person I ever met in the Church of Scientology, who I genuinely miss a great deal. She was promoted and now works on the Free Winds. And I was still able to hear from her from time to time, but since my falling out with the church, that hasn't been able to happen in quite a while. But I truly wish her the best, because she never made me feel pressured to do anything. She encouraged me when I was reading Dianetics. And maybe that's an aspect of why so many former members are so angry with the church too. It could just be that I got very lucky, and that I am very grateful and to all of the great people that I knew and met and worked with in the Church of Scientology, who encouraged me and helped me do everything that I needed to do so that I could feel better and be a better person. I obviously, not all Scientologists are going to be like that. It sure would be great if they were, but maybe that, in a way, that kind of explains some of this to me, because of why the way that they talk about their experiences just don't compute with me, you know. And I dealt with members of staff, members of the Sea Org, members at the Celebrity Center International, all these different people and all these different facets. And, you know, like I said, I had only done maybe 2 courses total in an actual org, and they never made me feel like I was inferior or less than, or like I needed to pay money to be able to talk, even just talk to them. It's ridiculous to me. One of the nicest people who, when I, like I said earlier, when we talked about assists, he was like an OT6, I believe. And I wasn't even clear. And when I was having a very bad day and just gotten some very bad news, I didn't even ask him, or we had barely ever even spoken except a couple of the events. I didn't think he liked me or even wanted me around. But when I was in that state, Scientology has another phrase, which isn't just to them, but it is a big part of it. There's an entire book on a classic lecture. L. Ron Hubbard used to always say that the wrong thing to do when you see it is nothing. To try and make the world a better place, or when you see an injustice or something bad that is happening, the only wrong thing that you can do is nothing. Whether the morality is up to your own judgment, right? Or what's right on whichever side is up to your own judgment. But what is wrong is to do nothing. And he, when I mean, it was, I was definitely in a bad state. I had just got some very bad news. I was already at the org when it had happened, and he came over to me and he said, "Let we're gonna go on a walk, and I'm gonna show you something that's gonna help you." And that was where I learned about that kind of assist. It was even before I had learned about it while studying, and that was where, I was all upset, and we walked around the outside of the building, walked down the street a ways, turned around. I mean, it was probably a 30-minute walk, and it was the process that I had told you about, where they tell you to, look at that stop sign and look at that car and things like that. And say what you will about the process, it definitely did make me feel calmer and more grounded and centered after everything that had happened. But what spoke to me the most about that is this person was way higher up on the bridge than me, had barely ever interacted with me at all. And they still took the time away from their schedule to do that for me. And so the idea that you can only be a Scientologist if you have the money to give to the church is just, I would argue, is just bullshit. That's something from an outside perspective. I mean, you don't have to be a member of staff or a member of the Sea Org to get those kinds of courses and services for free from the church. You can also volunteer. That's something that I was doing. You can volunteer and offer something valuable. In this case, it's your time to receive something valuable in return, which is the time of the case supervisor or the time of the auditor. I don't think that's a very crazy concept, and yet people seem to think that if you give something, you get something that you will treasure, is just absolutely mind-altering craziness. Probably because in Christianity, they'll give out Bibles like candy. They'll give out Bibles, they'll give out rosaries, they'll do all that stuff for free. But let's be honest, how many people who get a Bible for free actually ever read the damn thing? And that's not a criticism of the Bible. I just mean that as honestly. Over, let's just say the last, since 1950, we'll go back to Dianetics. Since 1950, well, I would probably say, just a rough estimate, that in the last 74 now years, I bet all the Christian denominations combined have probably given away over 1 billion Bibles. I don't even think that that's been that much of a stretch, because it's been published so many ways, whether it's the full Bible, whether it's the little, the new little teeny New Testaments that they give away. You get them as Easter presents, or at least I did. Whether it's the King James Version, the Catholic version, which the name of which I know, I think I can't remember it though. The New Age version or something like that. I can't remember it now. The one with the Deuteronomical books. We'll just say that. And if you're a Catholic, you'll know that I'm talking about you. I would say that that's a fair estimate. Out of 1 billion free Bibles given out to people, I would say that maybe, let's just say maybe, we'll go high. I think maybe 50 million have actually been read in the last 74 years. And even that genuinely seems like a stretch. I don't just mean you open it and you read a little bit. I mean you actually read it from beginning to end. And if you could, and now we'll compare that on the flip side to Scientology, which of course is much smaller. But since 1950, Dianetics, I mean, the church says that, and I think they use go off of the New York Times or whatever, something like that. Maybe it goes off the UPC that they track the sales. But since 1950, in the same time frame, Dianetics has sold about 30 million copies. Nowhere near the Bible, I admit. I mean, nowhere near Harry Potter or even Twilight or any of that. But 30 million is nothing to scoff at, obviously. And that's Dianetics alone. Now, with Dianetics, I would say that of those 30 million people, and here's another thing, Scientology often says that their worldwide membership is about 15 million, and most people agree that that number isn't actively practicing Scientologists, it's the number of people who have taken courses. So, and that's just the modern church. I mean, that doesn't even go back to the original Dianetics Association. So if we look at that number and we say 30 million books of Dianetics since 1950 and 15 million people, roughly, who have taken at least one course with Scientology since, I think, 1980, I would say when we look at those two numbers, of the 30 million people who have actually bought a copy of Dianetics, I would say, and on Dianetics, I'll even go low. I would say that out of the 30 million, I genuinely would say that at least 7.5 million of those people actually read it from beginning to end. And why? Because they actually paid money to get the book. And whether they get something out of it or not, if you pay to get something, you might as well get your money's worth and read it from beginning to end. And again, Dianetics is a hard book to read. If you've ever tried to read the Bible, and I have read both versions of the Bible, I used to be a Catholic, and I was raised in a non-denominational church, as well as plenty of exposure to the LDS throughout my childhood and my adult life, not just from growing up, but also living in Utah. I've read the Book of Mormon, I've read the King James Version, and I've read the Catholic Bible, whose name still escapes me, but it's driving me a little crazy. The Bible is hard to read, but Dianetics is harder to read. The Bible is, I'll be honest, at least for me, the Bible is hard to read because it is so boring. It's, in my personal opinion, it's one of the most boring fantasy novels out there. Whereas with Dianetics, it's hard to read because there's a lot to think about as you read it. As you read certain things, you start to try to compare what's on the page to your own personal experiences. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. That's how you interpret the material and try to apply it to your own life, to interpret it and find out what's true because it's true for you. And there are certain aspects of Dianetics where that doesn't apply. For Dianetics to work, you have to understand and accept the concept of the analytical, reactive, and somatic minds. And you have to understand and accept the practices and basis for things like the data clerk and recall exercises and auditing in general. But even still, there's room for interpretation. I think I might have said this before, but when I was taking my Dianetics course, there are things in Dianetics that I fundamentally disagree with, and it's not stuff that is specifically important to how Dianetics functions and the way that it works. It was a lot of things to do with L. Ron Hubbard's personal beliefs because I believe of the time that he lived in. Like, Dianetics calls homosexuality an aberration, which, like we talked about before, Scientologists are not homophobic or anti-homosexual in any way. I promise you. I can guarantee that. But It's just a product of the 1950s. Dianetics also has a very, very hard aversion to abortion. And not because, you know, of the right of the child or anything like that, but because Dianetics, there are what are called birth engrams. If you run somebody far enough back on their track, you can find that a lot of people remember things from extremely early parts of their life. And L. Ron Hubbard put it forward that if you audited someone early enough on their track, you could get to the point of prenatal memories. And so that, in his opinion, was why you should not get an abortion, because that could lead to an engram for the child, or now in Scientology, the Thetan leaving that body after it's been aborted and going into the next body might be stuck with an engram because of the abortion procedure that affects that Thetan in their next cycle that they go to. And so I argued in my actual Dianetics book while I was taking the course, I was arguing that in that kind of scenario, you have to weigh the reactive mind of the person of the mother, and all of the engrams that could be being created by the stress and the trauma of whatever caused the pregnancy, or the pregnancy in general, or the trauma and, you know, the issues of raising a child against the child itself. And I would argue that no cycle is more important than another. And in that kind of situation, it would be more prudent to protect and help clear the mother than the child. You may disagree with me on that. L. Ron Hubbard certainly did. But I wrote that in my book, and I still got the question right. They still marked that as a correct answer. So those are the kinds of things where everything in Scientology is open to interpretation, and you find what's true for you and you apply that in your practice of the religion. And that's not how it works in Christianity and other major religions. You follow the doctrine and you learn the scriptures, and that's what you quote. That's what you believe. You believe what you're told to believe. And I would say, where, like that previous example, if you take that same group of 10 Catholics and 10 Scientologists and you open up whatever book you want and you say to the Christians, like protesters often do, they'll read them something, one of the verses about, you know, slavery and or beating your wife or something like that. They'll read that to them and ask them, well, if you take the Bible literally on things like divorce or gays or something, why don't you take the Bible literally there? And I have never once ever seen somebody being interviewed by one of these gotcha people or whatever, where they actually were able to answer that question. And so, if you ask the same group of 10 Scientologists, and you opened up Dianetics and you read them where the passage where L. Ron Hubbard says homosexuality is an aberration, and you ask them, well, what about this? This is clearly anti-homosexual. Well, I would bet you anything that all 10 of those Scientologists would be able to tell you right there that Scientology, that it says that in those books, and it says it in Handbook for Preclears, but it's never, ever mentioned again. And L. Ron Hubbard says that any time there are two contradicting things or different points or different facts about something, you take the later material as the correct material, because just like everything in life, when it comes to our beliefs, they should evolve as we gather more data. And that's exactly what happened with the church. More data was received. L. Ron Hubbard met more people, including homosexuals. And as he met them and audited them and spent time with them, he could clearly see that that was not an aberration, which is where that policy letter that we discussed previously comes from. So I feel like that's good food for thought for this episode. I think we covered a lot of good And this wasn't to pit Scientology and Christianity against each other. Whatever you do in your life that helps you improve as a person and genuinely helps you, I think that that's a good thing, as long as it's not hurting somebody else. And so I hope that at the end of this episode, as you listen to everything I say, you can reflect on it. And by all means, if you have any questions or comments or want me to describe kind of any of this in more detail, you can send your questions or comments to ScientologyChat, all one word, at gmail.com. And then we will be back on Sunday with our next episode. So if there's anything you can think of, send us an email. Did you want to say anything?
World peace. Question everything. Do your own research. Read books and stuff.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys so much again for listening. We'll see you on Sunday, and have a good night.
Good night.